Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love for each of us. And how that love has seen us through so much and given us much strength. So we pray today to open up our hearts and our minds. Excuse me. Help us, Lord, to be led by your Holy Spirit as we read your word. We pray for a blessing upon the expounding of your word. May it be for your glory, your honor, and your praise. We thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Page 687, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 1 and verse 4 to 7. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders from the exiles and to the priests that the prophets and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, I love the book of Jeremiah because Jeremiah, as a prophet, had a very weird and countercultural message. We talked about Jeremiah the last week, week before? I don't know. In that message, what we learned about Jeremiah is that the city of Jerusalem was besieged by Babylon. Now, if you're in a siege, you want to hear good news. Any kind of good news would be great. Jeremiah's message to the people was, in fact, we're going to lose. Babylon's going to win, and they're going to carry all of us away to be exiled in Babylon. Jeremiah didn't make any friends. It's not the message you want to hear. As I mentioned that week, it would be like me saying, Steelers aren't going to win a single game this year, except for the one they already won. At this point, we almost might believe it, but one never knows. But it's not a popular message nonetheless. So Jeremiah wasn't a popular person. He did have a little word of hope, however. And his word of hope was, eventually, you are going to come home. Eventually, there will be buying and selling in Israel once again. Now, the people, at this point in the letter, are in Babylon. They're exiles. And there's a trend happening. The people in Israel figure this. Maybe if we're bad guests, they'll kick us out of the country and make us go back home. So they're starting a ruckus. They're being terrible people. They're causing trouble for Babylon. They're not listening to any of the rules. They figure that, you know, Jeremiah said we can go home again. Let's make that going home as soon as possible. If you have to visit somebody's home and you don't want to be there for very long, be a bad guest. They'll kick you out. Now the relationship will be shattered and maybe it won't be worth it. But it does have some degree of effectiveness. Jeremiah writes a letter to the people who are in exile. Excuse me. Hey, Joanne, can I have a water?
Of course.
The people in Jeremiah has a message for the people in exile, and it's exactly this. Be happy where you are. Stay there a little bit longer. God will see you through, and God will know when it's the best time to leave. Pray for the country. because in their prosperity, you will prosper also. Thank you so much. What we don't see is that Jeremiah is making a very important theological argument, one that's unheard of up to this time. If you go all the way back to Moses, when they had the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant, the people of Israel knew that God was with them because God's presence was on the tabernacle and on the Ark. Where the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant were, that's where God was. And so every time they moved throughout the desert to their journey to Israel, the tabernacle and the ark went with them. And because the tabernacle and the ark went with them, they knew God was with them also. When they finally got to Israel and made their capital city, Jerusalem, they built the temple around the ark. Where the temple was, there God was. They knew that God was with them because the temple stood. And when the temple got destroyed, they built a new one because God was in that temple. Now, when they were in exile, they weren't around the temple. They were nowhere near the Ark of the Covenant. The idea was, God has forsaken us. We're not with God anymore. We need to get back to God. We did wrong, and we need to get back to God right away as quickly as possible. Jeremiah's message that he gave to the people was exactly this. Don't go anywhere. Stay right where you are because God is with you. Because no temple can hold God in one place. Where you are, God is also there. So stay there. And when God is ready for you to come home, God will bring you home. This is such an important message for Israel because they realized then that God could not be housed in any one place, but that God was with them wherever they were. And it gave them strength to know that God was indeed present. Now, I love this message and this letter from Jeremiah because of this. Have you ever been in a situation that you don't want to be in? Of course you have. We all have. Sometimes multiple situations all at the same time. Being in a job that we hate. We have family members who dislike us for one reason or another. We're in a house that we can't stand, in a neighborhood that we feel lost in. We're in a relationship that we can't get out of, or whatever the case might be, and we might think that God has left us. We might think that God is not there. Sometimes the message to us is, wait, for I am here. I hear a word constantly, especially in at this particular juncture in our history. Have you ever heard of the phrase God forsaken? Have you ever said the phrase God forsaken? Oh, I know I've heard it. I've heard it from some of you. I've said it. I'm a city person. I enjoy urban and some suburban areas. Get me close to something to anything, and I'm happy. I used to live in a place called Timlin. Has anyone ever heard of Timlin? I would probably be willing to give everyone who's heard of Timlin like $20, and I would still have enough money, and I don't even have $20 on me. I mean, it's a little place, middle of nowhere. In fact, I saw it on a list of the 10 worst places to live in the United States. I mean, it's tiny, 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 tiny place. It is 20 miles northwest of Punxsutawney, up in Jefferson County. When the cows really do outnumber the people. My dog, Bindi, got ran over an Amish buggy twice while we lived there. No, she's fine. It's her own fault. Don't feel bad for her. She's chasing after the horses, and we tried the whole thing. She was fine. at Timlin. When I was there, I was tempted on several occasions to use the word godforsaken. This is a godforsaken area. There was nothing. I would drive 20 minutes to Walmart just to hang out for 2 hours to feel like there was something. It was very, very hard on me. Some of you, I have heard, have used the word godforsaken for this generation. This is a godforsaken generation. All they do is they have their nose buried in their iPads and in their tablets. They don't conversate with anyone anymore. They don't build relationships anymore. It's a godforsaken generation. I've heard some of you say this is a godforsaken country. We don't follow God anymore like we once did. It's not important. God's not important anymore. It's godforsaken. I bet you the people in Babylon said the same thing. This is a godforsaken nation, godforsaken country. We got to get home as soon as possible. But Jeremiah says very clearly that there's nothing, no such thing as godforsaken. That place that we lived in Timlin, the number of times that I saw God at work in the lives of the people and in my own family, I knew God was with us. I didn't like it there. But I knew God was with us, and we would leave in God's time, when God made it ready. I see God at work in our youth, in this generation, at many different times and many different occasions. God loves this generation so very much. I know that God's at work in this country. God has not abandoned us and never will, but is with us every moment of every day. There is no point in our life and no situation that we find ourselves where we can say, this is a God-forsaken whatever it is. Because the promise we have through Jeremiah and especially through Jesus Christ, God is with us. And God will see us through when that time is necessary. And I thank God for that. So very, very much, for it gives me much strength to know that I can make it. We can make it, whatever it is.